You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Alex Marcoux, multi-award-winning author of visionary fiction and spirituality books. In this book, Gods in the Game, she collaborates with psychic medium Shauna Kalicki, Connie, and ethereal artist Daniel. They're expanding concepts introduced in the earlier book, Destination New Earth, and underscoring fascinating aspects of psychic awareness that can be present in those labeled with autism, a perspective that takes us to an entirely new level.
When I say the word ethereal artist, that is really like Lyrica as well as Daniel and one other artist I work with, these nonverbal autistic. They're experiencing life differently than we experience life. Most of their experience is in other dimensions.
My guest is Alex Marcoux. This is a whole new approach dealing with autism from a completely different angle. And I talked with Jess Kersant about Asher, who was teaching her from the very beginning when he was 6 years old to use telepathy. I wanted to continue because you're doing a very similar relationship. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell us more about how this started for you. It's fascinating.
Well, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, Wendy. I really appreciate your time. How this started was back in 2011, and I was contacted by an author who was bringing out, it was a co-author team, a mother-daughter team. One was on the spectrum, the mother was on the spectrum, high-functioning autistic. The daughter was a nonverbal, what humanity would have described as being perhaps mentally retarded, certainly nonverbal autistic. On the high end of the spectrum. They reached out to me and they asked if I would help them, oddly enough, doing some marketing work introducing their new book, which is called Autism, A Key to Our Spiritual Magnificence. You know, they brought me into their circle and they introduced me to other autistics. And when I say autistics, two others that I was introduced to are what I would define as these nonverbal, non-speaking, high end on the spectrum. You know, so I got to come into their world. And oddly enough, they introduced me to that magic. We talked about, you know, the telepathy that your previous guest, I believe it was Jess.
Yeah.
You know, she introduced. Their work essentially was going beyond telepathy. It was, they were introducing these gifts as being interdimensional traveling, reaching beyond other dimensions, oddly enough, shape-shifting, artistic expression. So they brought me into their world, and I got to know them. And about, I don't know, 4 years later, I was asked if I would write their story. And their story is absolutely out of this world. It is not something that most people would go as normal. It goes beyond, it includes those psychic gifts and more. So what I did is I told them I would introduce their story, but I would do it in fiction because, you know, when the truth is stranger than fiction and you introduce it as nonfiction, it's considered, It's usually dubbed as outlandish, outrageous. So what I did, Wendy, is I actually wrote that Unsuspected Heroes, and I put that out in 2020. But as soon as I put it out, I had the feeling that I had to write a nonfiction piece, and timing was of the essence. And one of the autistics that I've worked with, and his name is Daniel, and Daniel is, again, non-speaking. He communicates through facilitated communication, which is a supported typing process, as well as telepathy, psychic communication, as well as he was channeled by a friend of mine. The friend is Shauna Kalicki, and Shauna, as well as Daniel, as well as the Daniel's mother, Connie, contributors of both that book, Destination New Earth, as well as the new book that just came out, Gods in the Game. Now, Destination New Earth is a work that introduces the role of autism in what we call our spiritual evolution and what the autistics are doing today. Whereas The Unsuspected Heroes, that novel, it's a story about their gifts, and it introduces what they're doing. And of course, Gods in the Game is a deeper dive into Destination New Earth. As you know, Wendy, it takes on a deeper level of the awakening process as well as humanity's divinity.
You also reference in the Gods in the Game, the aspect that we might have called God is a construct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was quite interesting. So I was halfway through the channel, and the way, maybe I should explain the way Destination New Earth and Gods in the Game, the information came out, because this isn't my information. I'm essentially, I call myself the rude mechanic. I take the information that I get in the channelings, as well as the facilitated communication that Daniel does. And I take all that and I run it through my filters. You know, ever since I was young, I felt like one of the reasons I was here was to bring these truths in, to reveal truths that are hidden from humanity. So I've always done that, whether I've written suspense thrillers or whether I've written these nonfiction pieces. So the way this would work is I would, along with Daniel's mother, come up with questions for the books, and I would ask those questions of our channel, which is Shauna Kalicki. And Shauna would channel a number of entities. For these projects, we limited those entities to Mother Mary, to a collective, a 16th dimensional collective that's called Sirion, as well as Daniel, because Daniel would come in and Shauna would channel Daniel's messages. Because these messages are very, very intense, and they're very involved and go beyond the ability of, you know, the autist to communicate through facilitated communication, because there's so much to them. So that's how the last two books have worked, where, you know, the information has come in for them. And the last book was largely driven by messages that Daniel wanted to convey. He wanted to convey messages on humanity, on God, and of course in Lemuria. And the interesting thing is that the information that he came in and conveyed on God, when I ran it by Sirion in a channeling, we realized that we had a little bit of a disconnect in the language. You know, Daniel calls higher consciousness God, and just, it's very simple, it's God. Sirion, of course, is like, well, no, don't call it God, because it's really consciousness with a big C. And because, you know, the word God is a human, actually, they said it was a man-made construct. It was man's attempt to define what we would call the undefinable. That's why I had to go through all the channelings, listen to Daniel, listen to Sirion, and make sure that when Sirion was saying God, they, Hesperians of collective, they were not speaking about God, and they were speaking about that human construct. Does that make sense?
You're both going at it from a different direction. And so, yeah, it makes sense. The language is different. You know, when you're talking with an entity or someone from a different dimension, their whole reality doesn't merge with ours. And that makes sense that they're not stuck in a box the way we are. And not to disrespect Daniel, but he has a different way that I think is relatable to a larger group of people who are here in the 3D. And working the everyday, day-to-day, 9-to-5 kind of stuff, it makes sense because it's very simple. Okay, it's God. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I find that Daniel's information is more relatable than Sirian's.
Yeah.
And Sirian, I know from my perspective, I had to sit with a lot of the things that they said. And again, I'm not the subject matter expert. I'm the writer.
Yeah.
It does need to go through my filters, but I can only speak to my understanding of what they're sharing with me. So throughout Gods in the Game in particular, you know, I will include many of their messages right from what they say. And then I share my interpretation of it, if that makes any sense.
In terms of a definition, you're working with autism, and there's something you're referring to as ethereal autists. And so let's get a definition to start out with the terms, because this isn't necessarily the same kind of mindset that we've had previous to maybe the 30 years when we first started dealing and learning about autism. This is something unique, a little different, maybe evolved.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing me back to that. When I say the word ethereal autist, that is really like Lyrica, as well as Daniel and one other autist I work with, these nonverbal autistics. They're experiencing life differently than we experience life. Most of their experience is in other dimensions. They are very lightly tied to their body physically. And so, you know, people may look at them and go, oh my God, they're not there. You know, they might not say things very nice about it, but they'll just jump to the conclusion that they are not there. They may use, terms that we don't want to share, but the simple truth is, in a way, they're right. They aren't there because they're experiencing life in the ethers while having that physical experience here. And then we get into two other types of autism, and both Destination New Earth as well as Gods in the Game. And there are various types. A lot of people that are defined, they might say, oh yeah, they have Asperger's. They're on the, that would be the low end of the spectrum. I'm not sure about the spectrum. But those people that are defined as Asperger's, we call them catalytic autists because they have a role. They're doing things for this planetary shift in consciousness that they're not aware of. Some may not be aware of. Others will know what they're doing and why they're here. And it's part of their blueprint, their divine blueprint. And then there's this other group of autists. We call them bridge autists. And, you know, the ethereal autists are so far out of their body. These bridge autists work with the ethereal autists and kind of bring down that they serve as that bridge between the ethereal autists and humanity. And a lot of the work they're doing is energetic, if that makes any sense. So we don't define autism in any way as being in any way a disorder or a mistake. It is simply a different way of experiencing life. And in many senses, you might think about it as being an entirely different species because these people are experiencing life, only they're experiencing it differently than those that are in the physical I guess they are the neurotypical, if that makes any sense.
What I found fascinating is that Asher, the one that I interviewed, Jess, and she works with Asher, he also now spends much of his time out there and exploring the dimensions and talking about that. And he's nonverbal. And so that's how she met. She was taught or teaching him how to be verbal, how to speak. And that part of it, once she learned that he was telepathic and he taught her how he was going to speak, it changed everything. And I remember seeing a video with Lyrica. I think you mentioned her just briefly there. Lyrica. And And I remember seeing her and thinking, how is this possible? And knowing that that is a completely different approach to communication that we are not used to and have been in some ways by other people encouraged to explore and improve our abilities, our telepathic skills, so that we can actually connect with some of these folks and understand what else is going on and also improve our own consciousness and abilities to connect with not just people, but with other beings around us, whether it's a plant, whether it's an animal, that kind of thing. And so all of this is saying there's a huge shift going on in our awareness to things outside our personal sphere, you know, outside of my body. There's a whole different world, and it is conscious just like us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. And it is. I mean, I don't think people have realized that these autists are intelligent, and they have expanded consciousness, and they disregard it. They don't give them the time they need to make that connection. And making that connection awakens the autist. And once the autist awakens, they experience life in an entirely different way. I mean, they love life. One of the things about Lyrica was she absolutely didn't like her life before she knew who she was and why she was here. And she didn't want to be here. One day, her mother looked at her and showed her unconditional love for Lyrica. And in that, Lyrica saw the divinity within not only her mother, but within herself. And she realized who she was, why she was here. And she had this shift in life, you know? And that's a beautiful experience. And each autist has their own awakening process. But it's really important, if you have an autistic out there in your life who has not woken up, you know, I just strongly encourage to, you know, work with them to awaken, have them awaken to that truth that they are who they are, because then they get to love life, and I'm sure they would want that. The information on autism is absolutely groundbreaking, this work. Now, I'm not at the center of this work. I don't go out to try to demonstrate, to prove that these autistics have intelligence. That isn't my work. My work has always been to seek out truths to help humanity heal. But what I realize is that these autists, they are so connected. You know, we use the word God. They are connected with consciousness, that big C. And, you know, when I was younger, I was told that one day I was going to write a series of books that would reveal truths to help humanity heal. When I realized who the autists were and their connection to God, that was my way in to, we work together. My interest, of course, is to help humanity heal. These autists are here to help humanity evolve. So they have been very willing to share these truths with me. And it's my honor to put that information out there in these books.
Well, one of the things that Daniel says, and this is a quote at one of the chapters, The New Spectrum and the Role of Autism in the Shift, Daniel says, no matter how limited or disabled the autist body is, our minds are completely free. Most of the time, we autists are aware of our capacity to be free. And that's Daniel. And that, so I'm assuming that's channeled. I don't know if he wrote that through his assistant, the device that he uses, but that's information from him.
That is. And that is actually, that I believe was facilitated communication, if I'm remembering that correctly. And it's interesting because a lot of people I speak with, they think that, well, the facilitated communication is what they're really saying. The channeled information, they frown on. But that isn't really true. That facilitated information is their least favorite way to communicate. It's harder for them. And they consider it training wheels. The facilitated communication is training wheels. They would much prefer to let their words flow and to relay these higher level concepts. So that's my work, getting to those higher level concepts. There are many people out there that are trying to reveal that these autistics are like this, that they have the higher intelligence. But that's not my work. My work is, let's get to the messages.
Well, and a lot of things that, you know, that have been speed bumps is this society that these folks are in. And if this is too far out or too frightening, then it's discounted. And like you said earlier, that the channeling messages are kind of, you know, they're maybe not. Well, all you have to do when you are communicating with somebody via channeling and transcribing what you believe they are saying to you is counter with, is this what you meant for me to say? And then the response from them will give you an idea. No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else.
You bring up a really good point. And a lot of channelings can get taken over. We call them tricksters, right? You never know where the information is coming in. And when we were starting the book Destination New Earth, we had a situation that came in where a trickster came in and they claimed to be an angelic aspect of Daniel. And it didn't feel right. So I messaged Daniel's mom and I said, hey, did an angelic aspect of Daniel come in? And during the channeling last night, she asked him and he said, no, it's a trickster. He typed it. No, it's a trickster. Be careful. Do not download, do not transcribe the session. So the session was never included. So from that point on, what we did is every question for Destination New Earth, what would happen is I would ask a question of the channel. The channel would answer it. And then obviously the audio would be sent to Connie. Connie would transcribe it. She would take each question and she would read the question to Daniel, and Daniel would grade the accuracy of every question, including who was speaking. So if I said, well, who's speaking? And they say, Mother Mary, he would grade that. Yes, it is Mother Mary. And then he would, this information is very intense. So they would come in and they'd say a bunch of stuff about the new earth, about humanity, whatever we were talking about, and Daniel would grade the information. And we would take that grade, and anything below a 7 got disregarded. Anything from 7 above, I would take, and I would form new questions to clarify, to see if we could make that information more accurate. And that information, of course, would work its way. The accurate information would work its way into the books.
Now, you talk about the divine blueprint, and that's a very important feature of the book. So explain that, set that up.
Every person comes into this life with a purpose, okay? And everybody thinks that's their divine blueprint. The divine blueprint goes beyond that purpose in life. It is about who we are to be while we're here. You know, who we are to be. And what I mean by that is that divine blueprint when we live that divine blueprint, we express our higher self. And that's why we're here, is to embody that higher self in our physical form so that we raise our frequency, we can experience this evolutionary shift in consciousness that we're here to experience. Again, like what I mean by that is it's not necessarily about doing things, but it includes that, if that makes sense. You know, we do get into how we can use our everyday life as a compass to understand if we're moving toward that divine blueprint, who we are while we're here. While I was writing this book, I realized that, you know, this divine blueprint I was writing about in my book called Life Signs, but I didn't know what the terms were. What I realized was we live our lives, and when we live our lives, often some things happen that are, you know, we experience the ease and the grace and the synchronicity and the serendipity, and things just flow. And then there are other times when we don't, right? Things are, they're difficult. And what Sirian suggested, that collective consciousness, they say that when you are living, when your life is in flow and in ease and you have that synchronicity and serendipity, you're moving in the direction of that divine blueprint. So, you know, when things all of a sudden shift for you, if you are experiencing that your difficulty or challenges and obstacles, it's kind of a sign that, you know, look at it as a sign that you have essentially moved away toward that divine blueprint. It doesn't mean you have to not do what you want to do or what you're doing, because we all have free will. We have free will. We don't have to move toward the divine blueprint. But when we do, you know, life flows with ease and grace. And that's why we're here. We're here to bring in that divine blueprint, to live that expression of our higher self in physical form.
You're talking about consciousness expanding. I think I might bring in some examples of that, where people are experiencing more things and becoming more aware because they're having maybe a near-death experience, an out-of-body experience, a telepathic or psychic experience more frequently, and more willing to share those experiences now. That evolves as we continue to have firsthand, up close and personal encounters or experiences with things that we might have before thought, well, that's impossible. That isn't, you know, that's one person can do this out of 150,000. It's just too rare. And yet this is part of who we all, this part of what all of us have access to. It's just these kinds of sometimes a crisis or catharsis or tragedies are the way that we learn about it, unfortunately, and fortunately, depending on what happened.
Oh, you know, that's beautiful, Wendy. And it's so true, because what's happened is, you know, we talk about the 3D shift to the 5D. That's what's happening. We're experiencing an expansion of consciousness from 3D to 5D. Well, what's in the middle there is that 4D. And all those experiences you're talking about, those psychic experiences, the near-death experiences, the out-of-body experiences, those are all fourth-dimensional experiences, which are kind of like a leap, you know, it's the gateway into the 5D. So it doesn't surprise me that as, you know, as you grow, we're having more of these experiences.
Well, and I see how that also taps into being able to connect and understand the perspective of somebody who is nonverbal, but also has a very real awareness with their reality, and they're not locked away completely from experiencing some form of reality that we can also engage if we expand our consciousness.
You mentioned locking away nonverbal. Historically, that's what a lot of people have done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but we, again, we look at them often, and we, when they're on that extreme end of the spectrum, and we just think that they're not there, but they are. They're just experiencing a different reality than we are. And what we learned in in the channelings for Gods in the Game was that in Lemuria was the first expression of what we call that source consciousness on our planet, in this universe. So it was source consciousness attempting to come into physicality, into form. And that was that intention. And those Lemurians, when they were in physical form, were closer to what we call the nonverbal autistics today. So the nonverbal autistics are closer to that expression, those Lemurians, who were those first, what we call step downs of source consciousness in physical form. So they're closer to God, if we use that term God, or if we want to use the term consciousness with a big C.
Alex Marcoux, Gods in the Game, available on Amazon. A quick break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Gods in the Game, messages on the awakening and consciousness shift. What do we learn reading Gods in the Game? One, you have the potential to access God consciousness. Continuing with Alex Marcoux.
I want to get into the definitions for the new earth. How do you describe and define that?
We try to be careful about describing or defining, because each person will have their own experience of the new earth. And for me to say, yeah, my experience of the new earth is I live in ease and grace and flow and abundance and prosperity. And what that looks like to me is living in harmony with the earth. And, you know, if I want to go to France for the day, well, I just use this interdimensional traveling to get there. I mean, essentially for me to define what my experience would be may limit another's experience. You know, the new earth is not something that is outside of us. It is something within us. And that new earth is the simple way of just saying it. It is that shift in consciousness that we're trying to experience. It is the experience of that shift in consciousness to the fifth dimension.
You mentioned it being a hologram.
Yes, it is. It is a hologram. It's but a lot is a hologram. Energy, you know, everything. Physicality is energy. We are all energy. That's what we are. One of the things that we strongly suggest is each person think about themselves as an energetic conduit, because that's what they are. They are energy. And we can work with that energy. And we can work with that energy to make our lives better, as well as make this planet better and create that new earth. Does that make sense, Wendy?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to add Daniel's quote. The quote here is, the convergence is happening. And Daniel says, and again, these are his words, There is an energy in everything, and 144 is a divine number. When these numbers come up, you can take this as a sign of convergence. So looking for a sign or a symbol or a clue or a key that you are right place, right time, and things are happening, that's one of the, I would call it a code.
Absolutely. And that convergence is what's happening right now. We are having a lot of energy coming to the planet that is, it's different. And it's those new Earth energies. And that convergence is when you have that, you know, the physical energy and you have that new Earth energy coming together and converging. So that's what he's talking about with that convergence.
Well, I think some of the things that are maybe a bit disconcerting right now is all the chaos that this brings up, because these energies aren't, we're not all on the same page, and it's requiring people to, in some ways, reformat the hard drive, because this is, it's unfamiliar, and it kind of shakes you off balance until you find, like you said, the blueprint, why you are here, and that this is just one of those little speed bumps. It's not necessarily a roadblock.
Absolutely. And you know, that convergence, that chaos you talk about, there is a lot of chaos right now. And my sense is that there's going to be a lot more. A lot of the messages in the book are about, you know, when this chaos comes, it is important to stand peacefully in it. And to find that peace is really, it's work. It's doing the work, because that's what the world needs right now. The world does need people like you, like I. When the chaos comes, we stand peacefully so that people can experience, you know, can see that there is another way rather than going to fear. You can't, you know, Daniel pretty much says, yeah, don't go to fear. Whatever happens, don't go to fear. This is, it's all about the experience. And this is truly, life is truly a game. And this is an experience.
I like the word that you use to describe it, the popcorn effect.
The popcorn effect, we're talking about how people are shifting consciousness. Right now, we're supposed to experience this evolutionary shift. A lot of people will say it's an ascension, and it's not necessarily ascension. We are ascending. We are experiencing going from what we might call a 3D to 5D and beyond. Third dimension to fifth dimension and beyond. But that's not going to happen. We're here to experience a collective shift where everyone, a significant group within humanity evolves kind of like at the same time. And yet it's not at the same time. It's going to be pockets shifting collectively. But that won't happen until what we call cream of the crop, that we use the term, or light workers or way showers or star seeds, those 144,000, those people that are here to actually awaken first. So there has to be that critical mass of people to awaken, and that's that popcorn effect. So as more and more people awaken, you know, one person will awaken, another person will awaken, so on and so forth, until this larger body of humanity will experience that shift from 3D to 5D and have that experience of that new Earth.
What is so fascinating in reading the book and seeing, and you use different typeface for the messages that Daniel brings through to kind of illustrate this is a different message. And the chapter on chapter 22, God Needs Us, We Need God, the information that he offers, it isn't something that you would expect in just a regular one-on-one conversation. It's a lot deeper. And his thoughts about this, I think, are beautiful.
They are beautiful. And just to, I think I start with the book. I mentioned that I was planning on just writing what I call a New Earth 101 book.
Yeah.
You know, an easier read than New Earth, the New Earth Destination New Earth book. it wasn't supported by what I call the higher ups. I think it was Mother Mary who said that there are people writing those books, but, you know, there is support to write a book expanding those concepts. So as I started writing my book, it was Daniel who had shared information on God, and that's one of those pieces that you're right. It is beautiful. It's you look at God entirely differently than I know I did. And so Daniel largely directed the direction of God's in the game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He grounds it, and he brings it. It's very, when he speaks, the messages he offers are concise, direct, easy to understand, and in some way uplifting.
Mm-hmm. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful.
At the beginning of the chapter, just the quote, blessings are the medicine that elevates your soul. Mm-hmm. But there's a little, a couple of paragraphs here that he offers, and I won't get into that, but I'll offer at the very beginning when Connie asks him, is there anything else that we can do for God and any way we can help? And this is an example of what he offers. It's very short. Be kind to people. Reach out to people. Say I love you to God directly. Appreciate that we exist with God. Be a loving being. That's it. That's all there is to it. It's that simple.
It is that simple. And that's why we're here. We're here simply to love.
Knowing that comes when he's nonverbal and you're thinking, mm-hmm. Well, is he paying attention? Because sometimes the movements, the emotions that you're around when someone who is not able to look you in the eye or, you know, maintain contact, you're thinking they're not paying attention. And all of a sudden, here is this mind, this consciousness, this being who's fully awake, fully present, fully aware, just not doing what we would consider socially acceptable kinds of behaviors. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes total sense. Total sense. Like I said, there is so much more home than anyone knows. Even me. I mean, my experiences with Daniel have been through his family. Some direct, but, you know, their messages, all of them, they're just beautiful.
The other one that I like in that chapter, he says, currently humanity judges blindly instead of consciously. We have to be what we want to see. We are all one. And that's as much as I'm going to say with that. But it goes on. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. Here it is. He's addressing some things that we can improve upon from his perspective without being judgmental, just saying, hey, do you realize what you're doing? And I think with these individuals who are working, and you're saying, you know, a group of the ethereal autists, they're working to, I think, help us upgrade our own behaviors, our own thought patterns, our own autopilot judgment, and realizing, well, is that necessary?
And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You mentioned Daniel. He also had another quote that I always loved, and it was, it's actually a Destination New Earth. And he said, experience life in a way that you don't seek anything. Be present and let things evolve naturally without forcing it. I mean, there are other tips that he gave us, you know, on our path. These were, I believe, shared in God's in the Game as well as Destination New Earth in more extent. But the tips simply are be aware and be present. Be non-judging. You made a comment about that. Be curious. Be open, and the last one is just be playful. Because this life is—it's a game. Approach life with childlike enthusiasm and awe, and watch the magic and the mystery and miracles emerge.
What I found surprising was that Daniel had an opinion and ideas and information about Lemuria. I wouldn't have. That was wow. Okay, so I was curious about what he had to say.
Oh, yes. And that was a whole section of the book. That was one of the things he wanted to share. That and God. We have a section on God and we have a section on Lemuria. We have another section he wanted to share, but I would prefer the reader to be able to read it and understand it themselves.
Another thing that you address in both books, I believe, the COVID issue. And again, this is something that we have really had to approach in a completely fly by the seat of your pants. Nobody knew what was happening. Nobody knew what was going on, and nobody had the best response. It was a complete and total fiasco, okay, because it was out of control before anybody had a clue that we needed to do something and do it fast. But going back to what Daniel has to say, I thought it was helpful.
Yeah, well, the whole COVID thing was, it's a mode of change, and we're going through change. And people need to awaken, and there are things that are happening on the planet and that will happen to awaken humanity. And, you know, COVID was one of them.
The thing that happened to me when it came to our area was, and I describe it as an acorn on my head, kind of that kind of thing. But that there was the minute that hit and there was a first report, I had something touch me, hit me, and it was gotcha. I'm like, uh-oh, it's here, it's here. You know, and
it's
didn't get it for quite a long time. But that was, and I did the vaccination, whole nine yards. But there wasn't a fear. It was like, uh-oh, it's here. Get ready. You're on the court. But it was basically kind of a clue that it was planned, or I wouldn't have gotten that little nod, that little thump, that little ding that said, here it is, you're game up, you know, whatever, batter up, yeah. I should say. But it was very difficult to watch the panic and the fear and all of that, the propaganda, and nobody understanding that we had to buckle down and just say, all right, how are we going to get through this? Instead of the automatic judgment and criticism and all of that, the panic was keeping us from actually taking it at the source and saying, this is something that is highly contagious. It's you know, something that is happening. It's not going away. So we do need to confront it. And I think that was missing from that. So maybe the next go round with the next whatever it's going to be, we'll have a better idea of how the autopilot response of fear and panic and propaganda is not necessarily the first act that needs to be addressed.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. I totally understand the whole COVID thing is, you know, I like to believe, personally, I like to believe that it was an opportunity for all of us to take more time to go inside and be by ourselves. Because I'd like to believe that more people awakened during that from two different things. One, from just going inside and connecting with our higher self, and also looking at what was going on in the world, the craziness, and it might have, you know, given us one of those aha moments of, oh my God, be aware, right?
Yeah.
That awareness is, you know, that is a catalyst for transformation alone.
I think it's still difficult to talk about because it was a tremendous upheaval and everybody wanted to cast blame and, you know, somebody, this is who started it and this is who spread it. And it's like, it's done. It's over. You go back and just determine how can we respond better? It isn't about blaming. It isn't about judging. It isn't about crucifying whoever was, as someone determines, the weakest link, which we really have no idea. That part of it, I think, for the next go-around needs to disappear. What I got from my own stuff is that this is part of our experience. And I believe, as you said, it gave us time to go inside, but I also gave it gave us an idea of where we need to improve, what the autopilot response was that might not be in our best interest, and how we can avoid that going forward. There were a lot of people who really suffered because of the isolation, because of the disconnect, and other people got a breath of fresh air because finally they didn't have to go the same routine every single day. They couldn't.
And so there's a whole lot of shifting that went along with that that I think was necessary for us to understand what we take for granted every single day is like driving a car. I'm never going to have an accident, so I'm going to do this. I'm not going to wear the seatbelt. I'm not going to do that because I've never had a problem before. And then there's a problem. Well, that's what this was. It said, you know what? It isn't what it seems. You might want to pay attention.
Beautiful way of putting it, Wendy.
Well, yeah, it's just that it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It was challenging.
No.
And that was the whole point, I believe, was to say, pay attention.
Yeah. And from what I understand, and there'll be there are going to be a lot of what we call awakening experiences. I think that we're going to be going into a period where there will be opportunities to awaken. That's the way I like to look at it. But I think that there's could be some interesting things coming.
Well, if you look at our progress here on the planet from, you know, from prehistory to now, there's always something that we can find that will be a challenge. I don't think that's ever going to stop. I think that's why we're here, is to navigate the challenges and bring our best effort forward. You know, how can I improve this? I there was somebody recently who was saying, you know, all they're doing is sitting on the sidelines criticizing. They're not actually trying to do anything. So bring something to the table and put that attitude aside, because until you're ready to step forward and say, okay, how can I improve? What do I have to offer? Then that's how we go forward. And by pointing out the wonders, the beauty that these folks are bringing forward, that they've been discounted. And now all of a sudden, wow, there's some insight into how they have a role to play, a very important role. And I think that's where we learn.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way of putting it, Wendy.
Going forward, you said Lemuria was important and God was important. What else?
Well, you know, part of this book is explaining that, you know, this life really is a game and we chose it. What Daniel is working on, what they're working on, is this 3D game is ending. And to win that 3D game is, you know, we are to experience what we were talking about earlier, that divine blueprint. And then when we get to the fifth dimension, there will be another game involved in this. But we're going to go through a transition period. So the 3D game, it's done. And we're moving into this transition period. And Daniel right now is actually writing about that. And he writes on my website under a blog, Daniel's Corner. And he will be sharing information on that soon. He's working on this awakening humanity. Daniel is what we call a grid master. And what I mean by that is we have this grid that some call it the Christ consciousness grid. And he basically grids, and it's energy work. And he assists humanity with his humanity's evolution that way. That's what Daniel will be involved in. Most of the stuff that Daniel does, I'm not privy to. Again, I can only speak to the things that he has shared with me through the writing. And so, yes, he and his mother, and as well as the channel, are all working on this. We're working on ourselves. Because that's the only one we can work on. Any person out there that claims that they need to awaken others, that's not what we're here to do. We're here essentially to give information. And when we give the information, we let humanity go. We do not want to be followed, if that makes any sense. We put the information out and hope that humanity will essentially work on their awakening.
on the blog, this is where he adds some information saying, you know, he wants to share more information when humanity is ready. So in other words, in piecemeal, because everything all at once is too much to take in. So this way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and so you've repented, obviously, this is your blog, and in his, the Daniel's Corner part, Dead Game Part 2.
What he says in Gods in the Game is, as humanity is ready to hear more, it will be released, and we'll release it initially in Daniel's Corner, which is on my website. We do not have any plans at this time to do another book. I am working on another book, which is a kind of a channel book, but it will not be about the autism piece. But things changed. They know, the Autistic Collective knows that if they need me to do work for them, I'll do it. But I don't have any plans in the near future.
Okay.
To do a book with them.
All right. Yeah. Well, your website, Alex Marcoux, and it's MARCOUX.com. All right. And what's the next book? You said it's kind of a channel book?
The next book?
Yeah. You said you're working on a book. What? So now I'm curious.
Yeah, I am too. It's a secret. It's one of those secret books. It's something that I started about 20 years ago. Somebody came to me and they've been trying to tell me their story, and I got, it's a life workbook. I need to get this done while I'm here. That's my next story. And Daniel has said that story is more powerful than any of the books I've written so far.
That's encouraging. That's very encouraging.
Well, yes. And that is not to undermine in any way the power of Destination New Earth and Gods in the Game, because we do know that they are code books, and the reader will experience, depending on how they read the book, activations.
And it also addresses the autism. I mean, that's huge. That right now, that's on the cutting edge. That is huge. But what I think in terms of what he's referencing is that it's your experience. So that's a whole different element, because sometimes it's hard to tell a personal story. You're attached to it and you don't want it to go south the wrong way.
It's like, true.
Am I ready to do this? Maybe not. Yeah, so 5 years later, am I ready? So what he's saying is you're ready.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's saying you're ready.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So now we're looking forward to that secret. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. And it might not even be in my name. We will see.
Yeah. Okay. I think you've got some encouragement going. So move forward.
Yes,
so,
I do. I have an incredible team working with me. It's amazing. I'm just so honored to have met these people. And I'm just honored that they've chosen me to tell their stories and give their messages.
Once you read Gods in the Game, you may want to go ahead and pick up the other one, Destination New Earth, just because it's like, okay, you're referring to this, and now I'm even more curious. And then The Unsuspected Heroes, because that is the introduction. And there's just so much going on with this. I was so impressed when I interviewed Jess. It was a whole new world. And thinking about what she had been exposed to and what she was divulging in terms of her connection with Asher, who's also nonverbal, and just this is a completely different level of our society. And it's active, an active level. And so I think their information is very important and valid and really right now needs to come forward to say there's more going on here that we need to actually pay attention to. It's not all UFOs. However, I, you know, would like to disagree. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, for some people.
I get it.
So anyway, all right. Well, then I'll let you go. And then for anybody who wants to get the books, Amazon or your website.
That's correct. Amazon or my website, all the books.
Okay.
And let me just say, if anyone does not like reading spirituality books, read The Unsuspecting Heroes. It will hit you where you're at. And it will also introduce you to a number of metaphysical concepts and the truth about autism in a non-threatening way.
Yeah, that's what I like. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never, ever considered it to be
like that. And this was just absolutely, you know, an opening to a new way of thinking about them and paying attention to them, not discounting them, but saying, well, okay, there's something going on here. Maybe I need to look closer. Maybe I need to shift, not them, me. And I think that's what the whole message is.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you for your work.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the invitation to come on. And we, the artist and Shauna and Connie and Daniel, we all appreciate you and what you're doing.
God's in the Game, Messages on the Awakening and Consciousness Shift. Links are in the description for the show. Thanks for listening.